welcome to episode 19 of the Romantically Inclined podcast. It's just me today. Sorry to disappoint, but this is the time of the month where I give you the books I have been loving and hating over the last month. And sadly, this month, I really did not read that much. If you were following along on Instagram, you will know that I have been in a 2 or 3 month long reading slump that has really been affecting my will to survive. I pretty much rely on books to get me through the day. And so when they aren't doing their fucking job, makes my life much harder. Anyways, I'm not really sure if you're going to find the wreck of your dreams here. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But I did read some good stuff, actually. There's actually no books I hated this month. Well, actually, that's a lie. There are some books I hated this month, but you can hear those in the episode where I talk about Turkey Smut, which is episode 16. So if you haven't listened to that episode and you want to hear all about my Thanksgiving turkey fucking, I don't know, vibes, then that's the episode for you. Not this one. This episode is full of good books and good happenings and good vibes that don't involve fucking a sentient turkey in your bathroom that transformed into a man with a turkey head. Okay. Let's get to it. I'm going to detail the books to you in the order in which they were read. I think that is the most authentic way to provide recommendations to you, because you can kind of see, I think that you can see my mental health status as the month progresses, depending on what I'm reading. So let's get to it, because this is fucking long as shit, even though I only read like 8 books instead of my usual 20, because I can't shut up. So first off, I read The Governess and the Orc by Finley Fenn. I raved about it a ton. If you missed that, it is about a wonderful woman named... Oh no, this is the point of time where I realize I've never said her name out loud, and I don't know how to pronounce it. Jeva? It's G-E-V-A. Jeva? Jeva? Jeva sounds better, right? Anyways, oh fuck. She's a governess, and she's working for a very terrible family, taking care of their children and the, like, mom's niece whose parents died. And she stays behind while the whole family goes to town for a season. This feels very historical romance, like 1800s London situation. And anyways, she ends up meeting Wrath, who is a thieving orc who breaks into the house she works at to steal a bunch of shit without really considering that Jeva was going to be the one blamed for it. I don't know what he thought was going to happen there. He's like, don't worry. Like, I'll just steal all this shit and leave you be and you'll be safe. And she's like, yeah, I'll literally be like strung up in the square, bro. Like, of course they're going to think it's me. I'm the only servant here right now. What, you think you're just going to leave? And I'm going to be like, yeah, it's totally fine. Some orc did it. Whatever. But Wrath is trying to steal a bunch of shit to bring to Orc Mountain to visit his estranged brother, who we've met if you've read any of the Orcsworn series, Kest. Kest has his own book, The Sins of the Orc. It's a novella. It's one of my favorites. I just reread it on like December 1st, so it doesn't really fucking count for this month. But anyways, I've reread it a bunch. And everyone is always asking, can I read the Orcsworn books out of order? And I always say no, which is super hypocritical of me, because I always advocate for reading books out of order and I always read books out of order. But I don't know. I just think that Finley Fenn does such a wonderful job of introducing you to a character in like book one or book two. And then every book you get a little bit more of their story, more of their background, more of their personality, more of their traumas, and more of like what keeps them going every day and their passions and who they like and the story of how they get with them. And so I just think that it's, I don't know, like you won't really understand Wrath's story without reading like The Sins of the Orc or the previous book in the series, which is like where we kind of get that story and why he and Kest don't speak and where Wrath's been and everything like that. So I don't know, do whatever the fuck you want. I'm not your parent. I'm not in charge of you, but I do think enjoyment is slightly lessened if you were to just read this book. I think it's possible. I do think Fenn does a great job of, you know, still making them readable on their own. But I personally think you would be missing out. But this book is spectacular because it's a little bit different. So the Orcsworn series is pretty dark. I think the books have gotten a little bit less dark as they've gone on. Especially, you know, once there's humans in Orc Mountain who are like easing the women into it a little bit, it's not so traumatizing to just walk into a place where everyone's dick is out all the time and they're like fucking in hallways and stuff. But this book is so sweet. So Jeva and Rath are lying together. So it's like a fake dating situation. They agree to be fake mates. He's going to pay her to let him like fuck her all the time and, you know, make her smell like him. So they believe that they're actually together because orcs can smell that kind of stuff. So they can't just be like, yeah, pretend you love me. It's like, no, you have to be full of my cum too. It's like, oh, so much work. But it's kind of nice that way because the two of them are, you know, they're deceiving together, which is very different from the other books where it's like one of them is deceiving the other all the time. And this one, there is some deception within the relationship, but they're really just deceiving everybody else. But there's a lot of communication and they work through a lot of issues. But the good, like, I don't know, this part kind of took me by surprise, but Rath is a good boy. So I don't think that is a spoiler because it's clear pretty early on that that is a thing. But he likes being praised. So there's a lot of mutual praise kink here. And, like, you know, like he's praising her, she's praising him. Everybody's just feeling really good about themselves. There's no mommy stuff. So if you're like not into that, don't worry. There's no mommy stuff. But it's just like a lot of her being no one's ever nice to Rath. Like everyone's just treats him like shit all the time since he was like a kid. So it's just him finally getting the love and acceptance that he's always dreamed of from the woman he loves, which is nice, right? That's so sweet. So I don't know. This was one of my favorites by Finley Fenn, and not because I'm a nanny and so I'm, you know, partial to a governess character, but also because I don't know, she just gets better and better at writing these as she goes and just blows me out of the water, blows it out of the water. I should really look up colloquialisms before I like get on here. Is that even a colloquialism? I don't even know. Okay. Sorry. You know what you're here for. You know why you're here. So then I read Lex by Cora Rose, which, God damn it, I have talked about Cora Rose books a lot. I feel like I've read one a month since I was born. And literally, if you're going to pick up one of these books, you are in for just straight, over-the-top dialogue, actions, plot points. Like, you are not getting a realistic character here. You are not getting somebody who makes good decisions. You're getting somebody who... Okay, so... Oh my God, I can't even... This book was the most ridiculous of them all. I don't want a 400-page book sometimes where everybody's making appropriate, realistic decisions. What I want is a voyeuristic hero who's obsessed with some old ladies he met in a nursing home and who is obsessed with planting cameras everywhere and conveniently plants a camera in the office of an uptight virgin with an undiscovered exhibitionism kink. That is what I want. And that is what this book gives you. Jesus Christ. Lex is like batshit crazy. He loves his tech and his cameras and hacking. And, you know, this is another one of those books where I'm like, I don't really think that's how hacking works, but I also don't know enough about hacking to know if it's not how it works. but he's very tech-centered and he grew up like feeling very not accepted by family, not loved by family. And so he finds these old women and who are just like the golden girls basically. And he decides he's going to just take care of them. And he's going to bring them out to breakfast and make sure they're taking their medicine. And he's terrified of them dying. And William is one of these old ladies' grandsons. And so when William shows up on the scene, he's like, who the fuck are you? Get away from my grandma. That's what Lex is saying, by the way. William's like, who the fuck is this guy who's like super possessive over my grandma? But anyways, this is like a really, really weird book. There's a ton of fucking. William is, like I said, an uptight virgin who's like never really experienced sexual desire before and doesn't know what to do with Lex, who's just like, hey, let's fuck all the time. And William's grumpy, but Lex is like grumpier and more cynical and like kind of mean, but also very vulnerable. So I don't know. It was a very strange book, strange like grouping of characters there. But I don't know. I'll continue to read everything that Cora Rose puts out. I just think it's just good fun. It's good fun. I read them about 2 hours, and it's just like a good way to turn off my brain for a little bit, and not a whole lot of subplot. It's pretty much just this. There is a trigger warning for death. I mean, they are old ladies, so if you don't, if you're not okay with that, then I wouldn't read this one. Not death, you know, one of the heroes doesn't die, but anyways. All right, this was an embarrassing one to talk about. So I read Faith and the Dead End Devils by Catherine Moon, and she is one of my all-time favorite authors, and I didn't even know she wrote this book. Somebody messaged me, and if you're listening, thank you, and was like, oh, are you reading Faith and the Dead End Devils? Like, what do you think? And I was like, I don't fucking even know what that is. And it was like the next Catherine Moon book, and I was like, oh, fuck, I'm a really terrible bookstagrammer. Especially because Baby and the Late Night Howlers and Lola and the Millionaires, the first two books in this series, are two of my favorite books of all time. And I just reread them like a month ago. So what the fuck? But these are sweet Omegaverse. So I don't know if you've read, I think Addison Kane, who writes extremely dark Omegaverse that made my like heart hurt. And she's just not the author for me when it comes to Omegaverse, because it was very bullying and they're being super mean to the Omega and shit like that. And I just could not take it. These are much different. These are in an Omegaverse world where Omegas are like prized possessions, not even possessions. They're just like put up on a pedestal and worshipped. And like they get their pick of the packs, and you know, they're in charge. You could get a bad Omega pack or Alpha pack who are like really shitty, and in this case, like Faith does. But for the most part, like these are sweet books, and which is what I want. I want, if you like books where the hero, or in this case, like heroes, like six of them, worship the heroine and like want to give her everything she asks for and kiss her feet and like just love up on her, these are the books for you. I was going through a whole phase back when I discovered these books where I was like, I do not. Like Ice Planet Barbarian, I was like, I do not want men being mean to women. Like, I am over it. I am done with it. And so I found these books. And anyway, so this book, we have Faith, who we know peripherally from Bad Alpha, which Bad Alpha is the third book in this series and involves a female alpha who is tricked by a male Omega into biting him and claiming him when she was actually sent there to kill him. She's a hit woman. And so that book was great. I do need to reread it because it's super unique with an alpha heroine who ends up in a pack with all other dudes, a bunch of other male alphas, male beta, and male omega. And she's like in charge of them all, basically. And it was really hot. But in this one, this book's more similar to Lola and the Millionaires, where, you know, Faith is broken, beaten, traumatized. She's been kidnapped and held hostage, and now she's being sold to a pack who needs an Omega. And on the way to that pack, she is rescued by these, like, bikers who are like, fuck, we thought there were going to be drugs in this car, and there's actually a woman. Like, that is not what we wanted. And, oh, fuck, she's also an Omega, and we're a pack who has sworn, like, never to have an Omega. So there's all that drama. But typical of Catherine Moon, the writing is great. If you like Why Choose-ish books or polyamorous, because there is male-male action in the background, or not in the background here, actually, in the forefront. There's always, in all of her books, there's always like a male-male pairing, at least one who, you know, they have a relationship as well. And so if you like books where they have distinct personalities, I know that's been a thing that people are really frustrated about in some of these Why Choose books, is where it feels like you just have three carbon copies of one another. And you're like, wait, does Chad or Brad have his hand on her hip right now? Where is everybody? And like, whose mom has issues with the heroine and whose mom is like, you know, you're just like, I cannot fucking tell you people apart. That is not something that's going to happen in Catherine Moon books. She gives them very distinct personalities, and they are like really diverse characters that are, you can just completely pick out, and you know exactly who's talking just by like how the dialogue is and stuff like that. So anyways, that's why I really love her Why Choose books so much. and I reread them all. She also did A Lady of Rook's Grave Manor and Company of Fiends. If you like monster YG's romances, because I also reread those all the time. Seriously, I reread everything she writes. She can do no wrong. All right. This is where I read a bunch of Thanksgiving turkey smut. So again, if you want to listen to that, you need to go to episode 16. I'm not going to repeat it. I am still dealing with the trauma that came along with that. Okay. The next one I read is super weird. It was called Quiver and Quill by A.M. Core. And I have had a ton of people recommend A.M. Core to me, like, endlessly. And I can see why. It is a fantasy romance, like a monster fantasy romance that takes place kind of, it's similar to C.M. Nascasta in a way, where it's like a contemporary modern world. You know, they're going to college and stuff like that. Humans and monsters like coexist. But I snagged this because it was free and I shared it in my stories and somebody responded and said, hey, you know that it's second person point of view. And I was like, whoa, I did not know that. That's very interesting. So second person point of view, for those of you who are not up to date on your English classes, is when they're, you are the character. So it's like, they're saying like, you did this, you did that, you went to school, you picked a book off the library shelf. And so if you ever read like fan fiction from like in like, what was it, like 2008 or whatever, like that's what, that was most of the fan fiction back then, was a lot of like, you are in the story, like you're the character. And I definitely flashed back like the first couple pages. I was like, whoa, am I back on Quizilla? Am I 12 years old on Quizilla reading Harry Potter fan fiction right now? Like, what is happening? And so it took me a little bit to get into it. Just a couple more pages. I'm not like some people who are very, very loyal to their point of views. I know some people who are like, I only read first person point of view, or I only read third person point of view, or what is it? Omniscient something third. There's like eight different third person point of views, but I am not like that. I really, if the story is good, the point of view does not matter to me. But this did take me a little bit, just because you don't read it that often. And I do think that it being second person point of view made the book feel a little bit long. I don't know if that makes any sense. So about 3/4 of the way through, I was like, okay, like, you know, I feel like this book could wrap up right now and I would be happy. Only because as the character, I was getting a little bit tired of making a bunch of really bad decisions. There was maybe like one or two misunderstandings too many. The world building was phenomenal. The storytelling is phenomenal. The character building, everything was really, really good. But because I was the one making all the dumb decisions, my self-esteem was like really taking a hit. Halfway through, I was like, wow, I am a fucking idiot. And I was like, oh, right. It's not me. And I'm now realizing that I haven't even told you what the book's about, but it is about a human heroine like me or you who pisses off a Mothman dude on her first day of college classes at a monster and human university. She like comes from a predominantly human town and she kind of went against her parents and wanted to go to this, get more diversity. So she goes to this monster university and she quickly realizes that the man she pisses off, Mr. Mothman, is her super old, basically immortal professor of a really, really tough elective class. And she needs to take this class. It's like not the class itself isn't a requirement, but the elective, like whatever she chooses, is a requirement. And so she can't like drop it because otherwise she's going to be stuck taking what's basically like a really hard biology class. And she's like, ah, that sounds even worse. But it gets kind of weird. So she ends up deciding she's going to prove him wrong because they have like a huge fight. And he's like, you're going to end up, like, you're never going to make it in this class. And she's like, fuck you. Yes, I will. She works really, really hard. And then he accuses her of cheating because she's doing too well. I'm doing too well. So he ends up making her be his TA to prove that she does know, like, she's going to have to work really closely with him and prove that she does know what she's talking about. So I was like, oh, that doesn't matter. Like, right there, I was like, okay, well, you clearly just have the hots for me, because otherwise you'd be like, you're cheating, like, leave, not work with me. But man, this guy, I saw some fan art of this guy, and he is fucking hot. So I was like, you know what, do whatever you want, dude. He is cold and grumpy and hard to read for pretty much the entire book. It's pretty cute, though. Like, there's a lot of misunderstandings where she thinks, like, at one point he comes over to, like, she thinks he's coming over to bring her work. She's like, hey, I'm sick, I can't come in. He's like, I'll be there soon. He shows up and she's like, where's the work? And he's like, did you think I was fucking coming over here with work for you to do when you're, like, on your deathbed? And she's like, yeah. And she's like super sunshine and sweet and kind of socially inept because she never picks up anything he's putting down. And can you see why I was starting to feel like an idiot while reading this? Because I was like, I am so bad with men, which is true, but like, I don't want to feel that way in my books. But anyways, honestly, if you can put aside that it's second person point of view, like I did, the second book was also free and I went and got that one as well because I was like, oh, like, you know, I could do this again. It was definitely unique. It was a nice break from reading the other points of views that I read on a regular basis. And I really do like this author's storytelling ability. Like I said, it was very like C.M. Nascosta, Elsie Winters, like kind of just like in that fantasy realm that I've really been enjoying lately, which is funny because I've never been a super big fantasy person because I don't like reading 50,000 pages of world building. I just want to get to the fucking. And so I think this is a good compromise. anyways, so let's move on from second person point of view and go to some alien stuff. So Victoria Aveline, who is the author of Choosing Theo, one of my favorite alien romance books. If you haven't read that, and I feel like I've made most people read it, I love it so much because it is a book where the hero is considered super ugly by his like alien people. And the heroine ends up on this planet against her will, a la Ice Planet Barbarians. She's kind of like, she was en route to being kidnapped and sold and they crash on this planet and she's stuck there. And they're like, you need to marry somebody because that we have very few women on this planet. And so marrying somebody is kind of just like a temporary contract to see if you guys would be suited to have kids, and most of the women have kids with a guy and then leave. Like, they're contractually obligated to kind of like keep moving on and having babies with as many men as possible to try and keep the population up because their population is dwindling. And the heroine is like, fine, but I really don't want to. And she ends up picking this guy because he's like super hot and everyone thinks she's crazy. Even the hero, he's like, I think you are a hit woman sent here to kill me because you think I'm hot and no one thinks I'm hot. And it is now my new favorite trope of all time is, yeah. And I ended up, I think immediately after reading this book, I went on and binged like 15 books with ugly heroes. I was just like, this is it for me. I have found like my top trope. So this is like the sixth book in the series. I don't know. It's up there. And I've read them all, but none of them have topped Choosing Theo. None of them. But this one came very close. So this one is Resisting Maxu, I think. And I think that's how you pronounce his name. And it's another situation. So this one's unique to alien romances, actually, I think. So the heroine is another one of the women who's crash landed on this planet. But she's actually pretty pleased to be there. So on Earth, she had kind of a deadbeat, abusive husband. And she was kind of looking for a way out, but she's in a small town and she was kind of like trapped. And so she's like, oh, hey, like I'm now on this planet where women are kind of prized and really respected. And I mean, on the other hand, like they're kind of, you know, stuck even to marry these men and have their babies, but it's a lot different from the life she was living. And she's excited. And then she finds herself mated to some dude who literally gets himself thrown in jail every year during mating season or whatever so that he is ineligible for marriage. Like, if you've gone to jail, you're ineligible for a year. So he always commits a crime, gets sent to jail, and then he can't marry anyone for a year. That's how committed he is to not committing. But unfortunately, they are fated mates. And they have to deal with that because she doesn't want to get married. She's enjoying her freedom. He doesn't want to get married to some like annoying human that he doesn't understand. And yeah, but unfortunately they are mated. She breaks into his room to steal back the pillow she humped. And I will not explain that. And his magic security system chains her to the wall. And yeah, some sexy shit transpires after that. It was great. It was really great. I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, this is, I'm here for this. So I really think you could read Choosing Theo and then read this one, and you really wouldn't like miss a lot if you are just liking the two stories I've told you about. None of them were bad. I did enjoy them all. It's just that this one is the first one that came close to topping Choosing Theo for me. So do with that what you will. If you read Choosing Theo and you liked it, I would definitely give this one a try. It was good. It's a lot of like angry flirting and trying to understand one another and sexy chains on the wall. He gets chained to the wall or the floor, one of the two. And that was fun for everybody involved. I was not involved, but I imagined I was. So moving on, we're going, because I feel like I'm fucking talking forever. Okay, it's only been 25 minutes. We're good. We're good. Don't worry. We'll get there. The next book I read was Until Him by Cora Rose. And yeah, it's another Cora Rose, because I found a book I hadn't read by her yet. And I was like, oh, I'm going to read that. And this is another, I think I was kind of in like a professor student vibe. So this is about a jock hero named Logan, who's on the water polo team, and he is failing one of his classes. And if he continues to fail this class, he will be benched on the water polo team, which is awful for him because that's his whole personality. He's like, I am a jock. Everybody loves me. I'm handsome. I'm athletic. I bring my team like wins, and I don't like, this is my life. And if I'm benched on the water polo team, like, what do I even have, you know? And so he panics and he goes to Theo for help. And Theo is a grad student and he is an asshole. He's so fucking grumpy. He's, even Logan describes him as like not being particularly attractive. He's like, later he's described as more like striking, but like, you know, just, he's not, Logan is like that all American boy handsome, and Theo's like nerdy handsome, according to Logan. And anyway, so Theo's brilliant, but he is an asshole. He hates Logan on the spot because Logan reminds him of the boys who used to bully him back in high school. And so he decides he's not going to fucking, he's not going to tutor this asshole. He's not going to tutor this jock. Like, whatever it takes, he's not going to do it. So he's basically like, yeah, I'm busy. And Logan's like, you have to tutor me. And he's like, no. And Logan's like, I'm not leaving until you tutor me, basically. And Theo's like, okay, fine. I will tutor you in exchange for fucking. Like, you have to fuck me every time. Every time we tutor, we have to end with like some sort of like sexual favor. And so, of course, Logan's like, well, okay. He's like, I'm straight, but like, yeah, that sounds fine. I've looked at dicks before and they don't horrify me. So yeah, let's do it. And Theo's like, well, fuck me. Like, I did not expect this. And now, so yeah. Anyway, so that's pretty much the whole book, is like Theo being a grumpy asshole. And at first they don't actually fuck. It's a lot of Theo watching Logan jerk off onto himself, which is also hot. So if you like that kind of like thing where it's not so much mutual masturbation, but just like masturbation with somebody watching on a chair in the corner, is that's somebody's kink. So yeah, there you go. This is the book for you. And anyways, there's a lot more plot and a lot of like, you know, digging deep into Theo's personality and why he is the way he is, and Logan kind of trying to convince him to give them a chance. Like, Logan's like, oh yeah, you know what? I think I could be bisexual. I think I am bisexual. I like Theo. So yeah, if you like Bi-Awakening, that's this too. Logan is super full of himself, and he never stops being full of himself, but he's also just so sweet that, you know, it doesn't really, like, Logan just wants to, like, snuggle and kiss Theo and, like, be with him and spend time with him, and Theo's just, like, pushing him away for a lot of the book. But Logan's just such a, like, doofus, so I don't know. It worked. Like, normally I hate heroes like that who are just super alpha and, you know, confident and stuff, but Logan made it work. I slipped in a little book here. I've talked about Lily Morton a lot. She's one of my all-time favorite MM romance authors. I've never not liked a book that she has written, and I don't think it's possible for her to write something I don't like. And so she released a novella called Vowmaker, which is a like sequel, in a sense, to one of my favorite MM books of all time, called Rule Breaker. And I believe I've talked about Rule Breaker before a lot. I recommend it a ton to people. So it is, Rule Breaker is a book where we have Gabe, who is just an asshole. Are you sensing a theme in my books? He's an asshole. He is super like bossy and rich and just like, again, like exactly the man I was describing before, confident. And he runs like an agency, a temp agency or something. And he doesn't, I don't know. I love him right from the start, but he has an assistant who is a sunshiny, like sarcastic dude who just loves his job, but also hates his boss. You know, that kind of like he likes doing what he does. His name is Dylan, and he keeps like Gabe in check, and they have this kind of rapport back and forth where like they hate each other, but they also work really well together. But Gabe's dating somebody else, and there's this whole thing. Anyway, so it's basically Gabe pushing Dylan away the whole book, and Dylan finally breaking and staying away. It's one of my all-time favorite grovel scenes. I reread it all the time. Oh my god, Gabe fucks up so bad, guys. Like, it is so bad. It was a shock and awe moment where I was like, I did not think it was possible for a romance hero to fuck up this bad. And I do not think he is redeemable. And like, of course he is redeemable. And it's so fucking sweet how it occurs that they end up back together. But Jesus Christ, it's so fucking good. I like cannot recommend it enough. So this was like a sweet little, they get married in this novella. And so it's just a nice little sweet tidbit. So I read that because obviously why would I not? And okay, I read a lot of MM this month, guys. So the final book that I read this month was Shameless Puck Boy by Eden Finley and Saxon James. This is part of the Puck Boy series. It's the third in the series. It's an MM hockey series. So at least one character, sometimes both characters, are hockey players. It's kind of a spinoff of the CU hockey series by them, which is a college hockey series, which I loved. The first one is like a jock and nerd, or jock and nerd. And it's like a brother's best friend situation. And oh my god, it's so fucking good. Great. Now I have to reread it. That's why I really have to be careful when I'm like recapping shit to you guys and giving recommendations, because it always ends with me just going down a reread rabbit hole that I don't have time for. So anyways, this book was good. I don't know that this series is my absolute favorite. I think I just read so many MM hockey books. I think a few months ago this probably would have been a year ago when I was still breastfeeding, I read probably 30 MM hockey books in a row. Like, if you go through my Goodreads, it's insane. I was scrolling through the other day and I was like, Jesus Christ, like, I had a serious problem. And anyway, so I think I'm still recovering from hockey. And it makes it a little bit difficult for me to like really enjoy the book because I'm just so hockeyed out. And anyways, we have Oscar though, who is like a playful playboy. Again, I'm really good at descriptions. Who is caught fucking some dude in an alleyway, and his like team and PR team or whatever is like, dude, come on, like that's bad PR. Like, we do not need CCTV footage of you fucking some dude in an alley. And so they send Lane, who is a grumpy PR dude who's kind of sick of Oscar's shit, not here to mess around, not here to like to have a good time. He's here to keep Oscar in line. And of course they end up fucking. Like, he discovers that Oscar is easier to control when he's well fucked. So, like, of course. And so this is actually another good boy book. Oscar does really like being praised, and he likes the idea of exhibitionism and somebody watching them, but they have to figure out how to do it in like a safe way. So it gets really, it's like really kinky, but in a safe, consensual way where like nobody is being forced to, you know, observe their fucking, you know, like sometimes in books they're like, yeah, we're exhibitionists, but they bring unsuspecting people into their like shit, and that's not really cool. So this book did a really good job of exploring like a safe alternative to like exhibitionism, especially for a pro athlete. Really creative. But anyways, I do keep reading them. They're good enough that I keep reading. I like the banter. I like the joking around. I like the storytelling and the writing. So if you're into MM hockey or just MM books, I do think this series is a lot of fun. And now I'm really excited. So I'm introducing a new segment. It does not have a name. I tried to name it, but that's just not my style. Where I actually just wrote down on my notes, follower questions. So I'm super creative. And I decided that at the end of every episode where it's just me, I will take some follower questions to kind of, I don't know, I feel like it's just fun to answer some questions you guys have and figure out if there's anything, any of your needs that I'm not meeting on a regular basis. That's just me being really respectful of you guys and really, I don't know, kind. I'm so kind, honestly. I wish I would know if somebody wrote me into a book. I want to know what they would describe me as a heroine, because I feel like it would not be flattering. Okay. Anyway, so I put in my stories that I was accepting questions, and I'm going to keep track of them week to week. So if you're listening and you asked a question and I didn't answer it this week, I might answer it next week or next episode that I do this. So hang on. The first question that I just want to add that there were a lot of really good questions and some that were too hard for me. I need like way more time to think of an answer because you guys were trying to stump me and I respect that. That's really cool. But also I am too dumb to think of things very quickly. So I need at least 2 weeks to come up with some answers to some of that shit. Even some of these ones were a little bit difficult to think of, but I managed. So the first question comes from Domesticated Brat. Hello, lovely. Who asks, do you have any hard no's for reading sex scenes? Auto DNFs. And I had to think about this for a minute because I have never come across a kink, have I? That made me put down a book. There have been kinks and fetishes in books that are just things that I have not enjoyed necessarily, but to actually force me to put down the book and DNF like in the moment, I could really only think of one thing, and that is weird dialogue. And that's neither a kink nor a fetish, but if you were expecting something really, really, a really fun answer, you're not gonna get it. It's weird dialogue. Like I once read a book where the heroine yelled, "I am coming." She was like, "I am coming." And I was like, I can't finish this book. I have to put it down immediately. I was like, this is a hard no. Nobody says that. Like, where are the contractions in this dialogue? What the, like, please, for the love of God, if you are an aspiring author or a current author, because this obviously was a published book, just please read your dialogue out loud. Like, act it out and see if that sounds weird, because it sounded very weird. This author did not use contractions for most of the book, and it didn't super bother me until the sex. And then I was like, I just can't do it anymore. Like, that sounds ridiculous. Who the fuck says that? Like, and honestly, if you do yell, "I am coming," at the top of your lungs as you come, please stop. Please stop. That, what? Like, that is I cannot. But now I kind of want to do that. Actually, you know what? If you are in a relationship or not, and you just have sex sometimes, try that out. Say, "I am coming," the next time you're coming in bed with your spouse or partner or temporary partner, because I would love to hear how the reactions are to that. If there are, I would think heterosexual men maybe don't care as much what you're screaming in bed. But I could be wrong. I just don't think my husband would care. Whatever I yelled. I could be like, "Fried chicken," and he'd be like, "Cool." Like, if that gets you to the end, just do it. Good for you. Amalia D. Ray. Okay, it's actually, I was going to include people's usernames in this, and now I'm realizing, like, some people are going to have usernames where I don't really know how to pronounce that. So I don't know what I'm going to do with that. Maybe that's not a good long-term thing. I just really wanted to give you guys credit for asking the questions. Anyways, I decided to give myself some softball questions here. And this individual asked, "What is my Chinese takeout order?" And I respect that. And honestly, will it surprise anybody if I say that it is super fucking boring. My Chinese takeout order is chicken fried rice every single time for the last, I don't know, when did I start eating Chinese food? When I was like 5? Okay, since I was like 5. So we're coming up on 25 years of chicken fried rice. I never switch it up. I like what I like. And that is why I also read romance novels. I like what I like. Amalia also asked what my movie theater snack of choice is, and that is hot tamales and milk duds. I do not eat them at the same time. I'm not a fucking monster, okay? But I also don't buy my snacks at the movie theater like a plebe. I do not, okay? I go to 7-Eleven, buy a ton of shit, shove it in my pants like a normal person. I do, however, buy movie theater popcorn because nothing is better than movie theater popcorn. I have not found it. There has got to be illicit drugs in there because it does not make any sense. And the final question for today is by It's Chris 10 Gale. Again, like that's just like kind of a weird, it's just weird. You guys need to have like usernames that are just like Bob 12 or something. Makes it a lot easier for me to answer or to read them out loud. Ask me my weirdest peen. And I think that is a very fair question. I had to think very hard though, because I have very bad memory when it comes to my books, even when it comes to weird peen. I'm not a very, I don't know, I just speed read and I'm here for a short time, you know, I'm here for a good time and a short time and not a long time. And so, yeah, anyways, I had to scroll back through my Goodreads. I probably missed some, so please don't DM me, or do, actually, DM me if you want and tell me I missed a really weird peen. The first answer is no peen is weird peen, you know, like, which that makes sense. Okay, let me clarify. So I read Strange Love by Anna Guire. It is an alien romance in which the hero does not have a penis. Okay? Instead, he comes by having like stuff shoved in his neck folds or like flaps or something. So the heroine like sticks her fingers in his like neck flaps and like that's how he comes. So yeah, if you like really weird, innovative sex, like, I don't even know if it's weird. Like, there are people who do not have functioning penises in the regular world who need to, or who just don't want to use their penises or whatever. It's your fucking choice. Who have to come up with different ways in order to get their partner to come. And in this world, they do not have dildos, to my knowledge. So he uses something else. I'm not going to ruin it. You can fucking read it because it's fucking tacular. But if you really like weird, like interesting sex stuff and like creative sex and innovative sex and like weird neck folds added to a Hunger Games-esque story where like the heroine is like a human and she finds out that in order to marry the hero, who I think is also kind of like in his like world, she has to fight other people to the death, basically. So that's what she does. Like, all the prospective mates have to fight each other to the death. So, like, all the women are fighting, not fighting each other even necessarily, but, like, there's also, like, machines that come out and try to kill you. And so, it's, like, a really interesting book, and I enjoyed it a lot. So, if I'm going to recommend any book, even though it's not one I just read in the last month, I recommend that if you like aliens, you read Strange Love. Something else, though, I've read a few weirdish peens lately. So, Lily Maine writes the Monstrous series. And I have interviewed her on this podcast before, and her heroes have very interesting anatomy. Some of them have cock pockets and penises and like nubbins. And her latest book, Seraph, has a very, very interesting peen. I won't ruin it because I don't want to. One, I don't know that I can describe it accurately. But also, when she was on the podcast, she didn't want me to spoil the penis for her readers and prospective readers. So I'm not going to spoil it, but just know that it is wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully weird. And it like kind of moves on its own. Like it does its own thing. It has like a little. So yeah, I love that. And then I just recently read Love, Laugh, Leech. Anyways, by Kate Pryor. And the hero, the Leech dude, has 3 penises. So that was cool. That's like the most I've ever had one hero have at one time. So that was cool. And then Vera Valentine, who I've also interviewed on this podcast, has some super fucking weird peens. One, one of her books, they are like balloon animal penises and they come like funnel cake icing or some shit. So that is super weird. And her Carnal Cryptid series, which is like a more serious, like, so she has the Holiday Hedonism story and like these weirder stories, like the Squeak, the balloon animal novella. But then she has Carnal Cryptids, which is like more of a traditional book. It is a why choose with there are multiple books in the series, but the first book is three dudes and one human heroine and they're cryptids. And so you have like a sea monster, you have the Jersey Devil, and you have lizard man in the first one. Oh God, my mind, I'm confusing the two books. But anyways, I think the lizard man might've been the second book. So I'm blanking on the first. Mothman. It was a Mothman. That dick was weird. Yes, it's all coming back to me now. So anyways, if you really like weird peens, I highly recommend Vera Valentine. Carnal Cryptids is one of my favorite series. There is some darkness in there though. A tiny bit of dubcon / non-con. Like, nobody touches her without her consent, but she is chained to a wall for a small portion. So anyways, thank you for tuning in to episode 19. It was a pleasure speaking with you, a pleasure forcing you to listen to my grating voice as I describe sex scenes to you on a regular basis. My husband always jokes that I should have an OnlyFans where I just read like people's books out loud. And I'm like, yeah, but that would actually require people to listen to I do not have, like, my husband, if you're on my Patreon, you got to hear the episode that he was on. And he has a very, like, relaxing, deep voice. And everyone's always telling him he needs to do, like, voice acting or audiobooks and stuff like that because he just has this very unique, low, calming voice. And then there's me. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not. I can't even watch a Snapchat of myself without cringing, so... But anyways, yeah, so thank you so much for tuning in. Next week is our author interview, and I will be interviewing Sophie Lark, who is a delightful human being. I absolutely adore her books, and she just came out with an Anastasia, instead of retelling, they say reimagining. So it's like an Anastasia-themed book. I believe Rasputin is actually potentially the hero of that book. It's on my Kindle. I haven't read it yet, though. So, fuck. I probably just shouldn't have said anything, because what if it's not? But anyway, so I will be interviewing her next week, and it will be wonderful. And I think it's going to be a ton of fun. I haven't had somebody... Anastasia is one of my all-time favorite animated movies, and the fact that now there's like a book that gives me Anastasia vibes is just absolute perfection. Who wasn't in love with Dimitri and Anastasia at the same time? Like, that is a why cheese romance. That is a triad I want to be a part of. I should go to bed. Okay. Well, I will give you some time to digest these recommendations. Feel free to DM me. Feel free to message me, email me, whatever. And let me know if you read any of them or if you hated some of them or whatever. I won't be offended. And yeah, read whatever the fuck you want. Don't let anybody tell you that romance novels aren't reading. Don't let anybody tell you that audiobooks aren't reading. Don't let anybody who doesn't read give you their opinion on books whatsoever. They cannot be trusted. Bye.